I'd like to just make a comment in connection with the introduction, not to hold off as we're going to study the house of God, but just something that strikes us in these days. We hear people, as Tom said, somebody says, well, where do you go to church? You know, if you were to talk to my wife later, she'll tell you what she thinks of that term, where do you go to church? We have this word church today, and we should maybe look at the proper word assembly. And the thought is that she often says to people when she's asked this, where do you go to church? She goes, I don't go to church, I'm part of the church. We have a truth that we hold that we need to express. We sometimes lower the standard to what they're presenting as a building or as a religion and so on. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, often people will talk about their church. Well, in 2 Corinthians, just an application, Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ crucified. Are we in the business of preaching brethrenism, or are we preaching the truth of the church of the living God? One time I met a man who was a native Indian who just got saved, was now part of the Lord's body, and as we were visiting him, not part of our group, his wife kept asking us, where do you go? Where do you go? And Brother Nick and I were together on this. And we never once said where we went. We said some meetings gather in a basement, some in a rented building, some here, some there. So then finally she was pressing, I want to know what group you're from. And I turned to the man and said, you belong to the Lord Jesus? Yeah. I read him the scripture we read in Timothy. I said, you and I belong to the same church. We belong to the same assembly. And that spoke to her, and then she dropped her guard, and then she gave us some snacks, and we had a wonderful fellowship. Because we're not trying to sell a new religion. We're trying to present Christ and the truth.
Well, brother, you mentioned assembly. The King James Version, which I have in my hand, the Authorized Version, which is still a standard, it's a literal translation, not a thought translation, uses the word church. But Mr. Darby's translation uses the word assembly. Usually it's the Greek word ekklesia, which means the called out ones. And really, the word assembly, or could be congregation, is a better word because ekklesia means to be called out. And we should not be allowed to be influenced by the religious world, which would teach that a building is the church, or a denomination is the Church of Rome, the Church of Scotland, the Church of England. But what is meant by the word assembly? What does that? We should establish for the young people what is meant by the word assembly or church. That's very important, because without a true definition of a word, nothing which follows can be understood. So we should have a thought here, brethren. What does the word church or assembly mean?
Called out ones. Ecclesia, call that one. It's the same word. Church or assembly is the same word. We use the word assembly because the world uses the word church, so to speak. But same identical word. We are called out.
It's important I'm sorry, Brother. I didn't realize.
In the hymn that you gave out this morning, on no other foundation man laid. Now, the believer has two foundations. One, a personal foundation. No other foundation can any man lay that which is laid. We have our foundation on Christ, the living stone, salvation. But we have another foundation called a doctrinal foundation, built on the apostles and prophets. So that's a good thing for young people to know too. We have a personal foundation when we trust Jesus as our Savior. He's the solid rock. He's the living stone. That's our foundation, Christ. No other foundation. But once we learn things, we find that we have a doctrinal foundation. And we're building upon that with the apostles and prophets. Ephesians tells us that. So how good that we can build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Right?
He's the foundation rock.
He's the one.
Upon which everything else is built.
That's right. And yet we have the apostles' ministry, that we might grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and be built up in our most holy faith. Pardon me, Bill.
The assembly in the use we're using it, although we find expressions in the Old Testament, in fact, the word ecclesia we can cite in the book of Acts as referring to the congregation of Israel in one case, but in the way we're using it now, it refers to something that didn't exist in the Old Testament. It's important to point that out. That in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord revealed to Simon Peter in verse 18 that upon this rock I will build my church. It had not been established yet until Acts chapter 2, which we have in our outline, I believe we're going to study today, that this is really when the called out ones, the New Testament church, the assembly where Christ dwells and who are the body of Christ, this is when it was formed. We don't mix what you have in the way people gathered in the Old Testament. You don't mix that up and try to incorporate it into the New Testament called out ones. We don't take a priesthood, a Levitical priesthood, and somehow try to make a distinction between the people of God, among the people of God, are those that can approach God and those that need an intermediary. We have every believer as part of this assembly. We're all brought in by the Spirit of God, and we have that in Acts chapter 2. And saying Acts chapter 2, maybe we could turn there just to, in our outline, that was the first reference. And while we love these truths about the body of Christ and the church of God and the temple, and I believe they're all precious truths, if somebody were to ask me, where do you go to church, I don't think I would begin by telling them, well, this is what the house of God means, because I think they would struggle with that, but prefer to say, well, let's look at how the assembly was formed. It didn't begin until this point in time in Acts chapter 2. This was the birthday of the assembly, the birthday of the church. And Christ is ascended, the Spirit of God descends, and then we have what happened in the earlier parts of Acts 2, and then how they met together in verses 41 through 47. Do we want to read that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'll read from Acts 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And here we have really the results of what we had earlier in Acts 2, when the Spirit of God descended and indwelt each believer, as well as the room they were in. The Spirit came into that actual room and was there with them, and continues to be so with us up to this very day.